Well, you guys know how to bring it, and I'm just thinking maybe I should just shut this book and let's just sing the rest of the morning. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Interstate. Yeah. It's nice to see so many visitors with us today. We're so glad you chose to join us, and we welcome you. We hope that you find a friendly and welcoming presence here and that you'll stick around and let our people joyfully greet you, because they will joyfully greet you and if they haven't already. So thanks for being here. We have a new addition to our team that I would like to introduce you to today. Let me give you a little backstory first. In order for a ministerial candidate to become an ordained minister, they have to jump through a multitude of hoops, And one of the things that is required is that they do an internship. And you know that our Maggie Alderman is doing an internship with Unity of New Braunfels, because you're encouraged to... Actually, they make you do an internship outside of your home church so that you can be exposed to other ways of church happening. And so I would like to introduce to you today our licensed Unity minister working her way toward ordination, who will be an intern with us for the next 9 months. Her name is Carol Rainey Moncada, and I'm going to ask Carol to come up here so that you can welcome her. Just a little bit of background. It sounds like I'm not going to let you talk, but just stand here a second. Carol has been with Unity of Austin, which is in about 10 minutes from where I live, working with Reverend Anna Schaus. And she and I probably crossed paths back at Unity of Austin back in the early 90s. So we've kind of been in the same orbit for a long time, but finally got to meet week before last. And when Leah and I met with her to see if she'd match up with us, you know what I mean? We knew immediately that we have a treasure. So you'll be seeing Carol in a variety of roles. She'll be shadowing me. She'll be shadowing Leah. She'll be shadowing Kit. She'll be working with you, Sue. And she's going to be looking at every aspect of the ministry, YOU, the youth education, so that she can see how we do things here. So I invite you to get to know Carol and to share your life with her, because she is a good prayer partner. She will be your good friend, and she will be a minister to you as well. Do you have anything you want to say, Carol? You can go over to this mic.
I'm excited to be here. I've heard wonderful things about Unity of Wimberley, and of course, Reverend Jill, I've heard wonderful things and experienced you just a little bit at Unity of Austin way back in the day.
When I was a youngster.
So was I. Very young. But I'm excited to be here and to learn from everyone. That's what this is all about. Life is an ongoing learning process, but I am excited, and I've been welcomed so warmly. So thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. Okay.
It's also a great blessing for us not only to have another member of our team, but to also know that we are fostering good ministers going out into the world. We are giving back to the world by having her here. And so it's our privilege, and it's our joy. And it's my privilege and joy to be in front of you this morning. We have been having some amazing times on Wednesday nights talking about the things that maybe stand in our way of authentic and lasting relationships with each other that are more than superficial. And the sharing that we've done in our groups has probably created more intimacy than you could have imagined. And I think if you talk to anybody that's in the classes right now, they'll tell you this. There is, and I think I mentioned this last week, people leaning into each other to hear each other. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to you about this morning, is that we are required, literally required, to be available to each other in a spiritual community. We're required to do that. We're required to stand before each other and to be in open space. And Cecilia, your meditation this morning was just beautiful, because that alone was the talk. For us to be an open and safe space for others, which means that we have to acknowledge our own vulnerabilities and be willing to be ourselves in front of other people to give them permission to be themselves. So that we are not just superficially saying, hi there, how are you, see you next Sunday. We're willing, even if it doesn't happen, we're willing to engage with each other in the commonness of our Christ spirit, to acknowledge and see that in each other. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of words that go with that. Sometimes we get so busy talking with each other that we are, we're not as good at listening to each other. We're not very good at listening to silence between each other. You know, have you ever just had a moment with someone where you didn't really have to say any words? You could just make eye contact and you see each other. And you are that person that the other person needs, and they're the one that you need just in that moment. So if you look in the New Testament beyond the Gospels, you will see lots of letters from the Apostle Paul telling these new communities who had heard about the teachings of Jesus, telling them how to behave. That's why Paul gets such a bad rap, is because he's trying to get people in line. Because if you get a bunch of human beings together, they're going to act like a bunch of human beings together. And especially when we come to a place where we can let down our guard, as you've heard me say before, we see the very best of each other. We can also see the most petty things in each other and in ourselves. When sometimes the best thing we can do is just listen, just to be available, just to be that trusted friend, and to be a trustworthy friend. I love this idea. If we learn how to keep each other's confidences, then we've created a sacred trust with the other person. I don't know that there's anything more beautiful than that, whether it's with your partner, your child, your friend, a stranger you've just met. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's easier for us to pour out our vulnerabilities and what's going on with us to perfect strangers than it is to the people that are closest to us. Why is that? Because we can say it and scram. You know? Woo! Got that off my chest. Bye-bye. When it takes real courage to engage and to be a sacred space. I want to give you a couple of definitions here. I've talked to you a little bit before in the Brené Brown book. We've been talking about the BRAVING inventory, and the BRAVING acronym is about, and I'll go over this again, boundaries, reliability, and accountability. A vault, which I'm going to talk about today, integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. That's what braving is. So we've covered boundaries, reliability, and accountability. Today we're going to talk about that vault, and I want to give you the definition that Brené Brown gave. If you're a vault, you don't share information and experiences that are not yours to share. I need to know my confidences are kept and that you're not sharing with me any information about other people that should be kept confidential. Oopsie. I need to know that you're going to keep my confidences and that you're not going to share things about other people that shouldn't be shared. Because you know what that is? G-O-S-S-I-P. That's a six-letter word. Gossip. That's what that is. And we do it. We all do it. We wish we didn't do it. We don't feel any better after we do it. When we are gossiping, when we share things that we shouldn't be sharing, we're just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it because we want to feel better about ourselves so that we can look better. We want to have the scoop so we can dish a little dirt. Have any of you ever been hurt by dirt dished on you? Nobody. Nobody. Okay. Well, I guess we will just sing the rest of the service. Yeah. I've been hurt by dirt dished on me. I'm waiting. I'm just going to wait here with my hand up. And especially in this position. Oh, man. People love to speculate about the minister. But we do it, we get hurt by it. How many of you have dished dirt on another person? If there's a not dirt disher out there, I want to know who you are and how you did that. Because it's part of our humanness. I don't know what it is. We've done it since we were little bitty kids, whispering things. And sometimes they weren't true. And most of the time they were not for us to share. So you have the right to ask that something not be shared with anybody else. Thank you, my trusted friend. I am telling you this, and I'm asking you not to share it. You have the right to say that. You have the right to ask a person if they did share something they shouldn't have. Can we talk about why this happened? You have that right. You also have the right to say, please don't share that information with me. That's not something I need to know. Because if they're telling you stuff that other people have confided to them about, how do you know that they won't share what you just confided to other people? We don't sometimes don't think about it going both ways. Now, there is a little bit of a scriptural basis for this. I'm going to go all the way back to Proverbs. I love Proverbs. It's sweet, and it also shakes a finger. Well, let's do this one first. A gossip goes about telling secrets, but one who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a confidence. So there it is, thousands of years old, telling you what to do. Here's another one. This is my favorite. A gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a babbler. Don't you love that? It says babbler in the Bible. I just love that. Don't associate, that's in the New King James, the New Revised Standard Edition. I don't know what the other ones say, but I'm sticking with this because it says babbler. So we want to be a safe place, do we not? And we want to have safe places around us. We want to have people that we can go to who are the most trusted people that we know our secrets are safe with. Otherwise, if we don't have that, First of all, our heart has a little space in it that feels broken. We need to be able to share those deep things. We need to be able to share our vulnerabilities. A lot of times we need to be able to share with somebody else that which we've done, which we're punishing ourselves for, so that we have a safe place and the other person can say, I understand that. I don't judge you. Because non-judgment's one of those other things we're going to be talking about in that inventory. And I don't judge you. We judge ourselves way harsher than anybody else does. So we need that safe place. We also need to know that if we need to vent, because I bet you're asking that question, well, what if somebody did something to me and I just need to vent about it? What if I need to just rant for a minute? Find your safe person to rant with. Go rant for a minute. Once. Once. This is, I'm preaching this because I need to hear it myself. Because if you start ranting here and ranting there and ranting over here and ranting over there, then all you're doing is spreading your nasty little story around. It's your story. I am calling us to a high level of integrity here, my friends. I'm calling us up to a higher level of spiritual behavior. More Christ-like behavior. Never once in the scripture do you see somebody, well, let's take Jesus, for example. How about Jesus? We'll just use Jesus. You ever see Jesus going and saying, Andrew, you will not believe what John did today. Never see that in the scripture. But we do see blame shifting. We see that in the scripture, starting with Adam and Eve. God said, Adam, why did you hide from me? And what's with the fig leaf thing? And Adam says, it was Eve. She made me eat this apple, and then I saw I was naked, and God goes to Eve and says, what's with the fig leaf thing? And why are you hiding? And she said, well, it was the serpent. He told me that I should eat this, and so I did. And so we see it in the very first story. We also see it later on when Moses goes up the mountain to get the commandments. Moses goes up, depending on how you look at this, there may have been more than 10 commandments. And I'm not just talking about the Mel Brooks movie. So if you haven't seen that, I'll talk to you later about it. But he leaves his brother Aaron in charge. He leaves his brother Aaron in charge. And the peoples are like, oh, cat's away. We're going to play like mice. And they start talking up doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, like drunken orgy. Wow, I just said that in church, didn't I? And they revert to their old ways, or the ways of the people around them, and decide to have to put all their gold together and have an idol of a calf that they're going to worship. So when Moses comes back down, he says, what in the world is going on down here? I've got the laws of God right here in my hands. What have you been doing? And Aaron says, well, we were having a party, and we decided to throw all of our gold into the pot, and out came this calf. That's what it says in the scripture. Out came this calf. If you know anything about metallurgy, that doesn't happen. So we are like children, in that we will be kind of slithery and sneaky about the way we deal with other people. And especially spiritual people, we can really, really fool ourselves, can't we? Well, I shouldn't be telling this, but I'm really worried about this person because blah, blah, blah. There's a difference in talking about and talking to. If you're really, really worried about somebody, go talk to them and say, I'm concerned. My sister, my brother, may I do anything for you? May I serve you? Is there any way that I can, is there any way that I can lighten your burden? Which would you rather hear? That so-and-so was talking about you, and third hand somebody comes and says, so-and-so was concerned about you. Or would you rather have somebody come to you and say, how may I serve you? Is there anything that I can do for you to lighten your load? One or two? Two. That's the better way. So do you want to be a safe place for other people? Do you want to be that trustworthy friend who keeps confidences and doesn't share things that you shouldn't share, doesn't hear things that you shouldn't hear? Here's the spiritual basis. To be a trustworthy friend is to live in confidence that the heart of another is precious to you. Doesn't that just change the nature of a transaction with another human being? If you could consciously remember that that person's heart is precious to you because we are one with each other and we were one with each other in God. Isn't it good to know that you can live in confidence that you don't have to follow that lesser motive of talking about another or sharing something you shouldn't just to make yourself feel better? You can have the spiritual confidence that you don't need to do that. You're enough. You're enough. That we don't need to take each other down. Oh my goodness, we see too much of that already, don't we? I'm so excited, this is a little parenthetical, that we're going to be in the Pride March. Because if we will not stand up for inclusivity, who else will do that? If we do not stand up in inclusivity, what does it say about us and the LGBTQ people in our community? If we do not stand up for people who need to be stood up for, who else is going to do that? If we will not stand as a trustworthy friend in this place where we can practice it and be forgiven when we mess up, how shall we do it out in the world? Take a deep breath, my friends. All that we ever do here with each other is find ways to move through all the stuff of being a human being so that more of our spiritual self has a chance to rise to the surface. It doesn't require us to fix other people. It doesn't require us to give them advice. It doesn't require us to top their story with one of our own. It doesn't require us to hurry up and think about the thing we're going to say to them as soon as they finish talking so that we can, you know, be important. It requires us just to stand with another. Karen, be my friend here. So, you know, you and I kind of looked into each other's hearts right away. And we don't have to say a lot to each other, do we? Do you know that if there was something on your heart that you could entrust it to me, and I would hold it sacredly. Do you know that?
Absolutely.
Do you know that I feel that I could do the very same thing with you?
No. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Punk. I know that I could, because your heart's open to me. I know that that's true. And I know that there are many things that we don't even have to say to each other, because we just love each other, and we exchange that love every time we're together. Mm-hmm. So our silence speaks as loudly as our words, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
And I love you.
I love you too.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for standing in for every single person in this room. You know, this is what we're about. This is what we're about. This is what we must do. Let's avoid having to read what all Paul wrote to the early churches, okay? We're 2,000 years later, and I think we're starting to catch on. All right? Let's pray. If you're breathing right now, and I hope you are, and if you're breathing with intention, and I hope you are, you're going to find that little soft space inside of you that's the thing we've been talking about this morning. The place where vulnerability and strength and confidence and quiet listening and safe boundaries and keeping our word, doing what we say we're going to do, all those things live right there. And do you not yearn to live that as much as you can? All the great masters have taught this. And we're going to let the notes of the music just play while you examine your heart. And is there something there that you need to leave with a trusted and trustworthy friend? Is there some place in your heart where you've discovered a confidence that you violated and it's time to forgive yourself? Then do that now. You're not allowed as a spiritual being to hold yourself against yourself, but to live in the truth that was taught to us and that lives in us as best you can every day. That's all that is required, to do our best. And there's an affirmation that you can just hold silently in your heart that says, I am a safe place. I am a safe place. And as you go forth this week, try listening more than talking. Try standing before another, open and willing, vulnerable and strong. So that others know that about themselves in your presence. Loving Spirit, we give thanks for that which was born in us. To live in your likeness, to walk in truth and beauty, to make the world a better place, to be safe and loving with our companions. For these gifts, we are so grateful, so grateful. And anything unlike this, we let it go. And so it is.